The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
And we're going to be focusing on, well, frankly, some things that are meaningful to me that I believe can be meaningful to you. Chapters in the Bible that I have seen just be so powerful in my life and in the lives of others. And they may have been places that we've studied previously, but that's okay. We're going to go back over some ground that's been tilled before and remind ourselves of things that are healthy that we be holding on to. Gospel of John. Would you open your Bibles to the Gospel of John? And when you go there, go to chapter 13. Now, I know, and you know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. So some of this series is going to be from Old Testament chapters and some is going to be from New. Tonight I start with something that's just really, really close to my heart, and that is looking at Jesus. I mean, we could look at chapters and look at Jesus' power. We could see him healing individuals, healing masses. We could see him teaching. And see him being able to use, whether it was parables, a series that we had just been going through, or other methods of teaching, for Jesus just had just the way to be able to say everything that he expressed. And it's a wonderful thing to spend the time being able to study that. We can see the time that he spent seeking to try to bring along the disciples. Now, I want to say this, and I want you to hear me. I'm not looking to put them down, okay? But I am going to see them as they are. The apostles, we're not the best individuals that you and I might ever come across and just go, wow, talk about the cream of the crop. Yeah, you know what? We could go one by one by one by one and look at each of them, because they had, some of them had like some flaws, and some of them had flaws. You know what I'm talking about? Just their lives. And as I read, and you come across them, you find them just, Peter's not the only one that had foot and mouth disease, okay? There were others. And over and over, we see the things that are there in their heart and their mind. Now, what we do know is that they look to Jesus, okay? Let's not miss that. They look to him, but they didn't get it. Until Pentecost. Until they were filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know, after Jesus had died and risen and already, you know, not just resurrected, but ascended into heaven, and Pentecost comes, then they began really seeing changes in their lives. But before that, ouch. I don't know how you look at your life, but we may be looking at a number of ouches. Is that possible? Have I gone some preaching and meddling already, you know? But the reality is our lives, the struggles that we go through. You put your struggles and at times lack of faithfulness next to him. Wow. Chapter 13, Gospel of John. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, understand this, the one that we're talking about is not just pure man, he is also truly God. And though he veiled and did not use all of his attributes, he willingly did that, you know, in order for him to go through all that he went through. He didn't cease to be God in any way. And so what we find is that here he knew the hour had come. If we went back and began looking, we would find various times that Jesus would say such and such and said, but my hour's not yet come. And again, my hour's not yet come. Each of these situations, and now we look at this passage, and it says it was the feast of the Passover. Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. I love this last phrase. I've underlined it in my Bible. I've not underlined it so I can tell you. I get to tell you, but I've underlined it for me. He loved them to the end. The full extent of his love. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's when people go through trials that you truly see the depth of love? Oh, we are so capable of talking a good game, aren't we? You know, I mean, I love you. I'll be there for you all. And then the trials come. And sometimes we're not there. Jesus was. Hear this. In the midst of the trials and difficulties of life, when we needed him, he stood up and he was there. That's our Savior. Understand who he is, because it builds in us a sense of trust and strength to know that Jesus didn't just talk it. His love was something that was shown. Many of you are so familiar with John 3:16, and it is in my mind sometimes where I'm trying to give a definition of love. We live in a world in which love is considered to be that intangible something, warm fuzzies, you know, people talk about it, whatever it would be. No. God so loved the world that he, and that is the essence of love. It's not just the words you use, it's what you do. Jesus ended up loving to the end. Why? Because what we needed was a Savior, and that's what he was committed to be able to do. So having loved his own who were in the world as he was on earth, he loved them to the end. The supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. In that culture, there wasn't just some dirt roads. You know, we have stretches of highway where you can get so rural that the road goes to stones and dirt. You go, yeah, really? Yeah, it's not close to here, but, you know, you could find those places. That's all they had back in those days. That was really it. Maybe in cities you might find some cobblestone kind of streets that would be there, but that'd be very unusual. Typically, you've got dirt roads. And so whether it's chariots or carts that are just kind of kicking up the dirt, or whether it's you literally kicking up the dirt, because that's what you're doing is walking on those kinds of roads or paths, everybody's feet just got filthy. I read it's not unusual in a home that the wife might, just clean the husband's feet, and the children would be trained, and first of all, they would have their feet that would be cleaned by the parents, and then the children would learn how to clean, you know, the feet of the parents and to get involved in the process. But it was something that needed to be done. If you had guests that came, it was not extraordinary. It was common decency that you'd end up having someone that would be taking care of that as they ended up coming into the house. For the wives that are here, it also kept the house from getting truly filthy in every single room in the house if they had their feet washed before they moved through all the other rooms that were there. But that's how it worked. Jesus, the Bible says, in the process of loving them, ends up taking off his ceremonial garb and wrapping a towel around himself and getting a basin and beginning to do that courtesy, took a towel, girded himself. Verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The disciples, by the way, and we don't find it in John. It's interesting. This portion of what's going on, the upper room, we find chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, all giving us information about it. More information is found in John regarding the upper room than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So something that we really need, John ends up being able to give us. Personal information. What was said? What was going on? So Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already written. John is a letter of the books that's given to us, but this wasn't covered. But John picks it up, and he says Jesus was there. John, of course, would have been there. He would have seen all that went on. And Jesus began to wash feet. The disciples, you don't get this from John. You do get this from Matthew and Mark and Luke. They were having discussions. Do you know what their discussion was about? Who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God? This is our choice apostles. Okay? And they're having a discussion. You've heard me say this already. I don't mean to be redundant, but, you know, does anybody think that the conversation went, no, it's not me, it's really you. You know, you're the better. And they would say, oh, no, it's not me. I got my issues and problems. I think it's really you. Is that how it went? It sounds pretty confident, huh? I agree. That's not how it went at all. Everybody was making the case for good old number one. You know, we find that John and his brother, they had previously sent mom to be able to go to Jesus and be able to say, I have a request. Now listen, if you ever have children or even grown children who come to you saying, hey, I have a request, do not say, whatever you want, you'll get. Wait until you find out what they're saying. Because the mom said, I'd like my sons to be on your right and left hand up in heaven. You think moms came up with that request on her own? Or you think maybe somebody ended up getting mom to be able to do what they were not comfortable being able to do? But you get it. Who were the disciples thinking about? And you and I, here we are sitting in an evening service in a Bible church, and we go, can you believe anybody ever doing such a thing? Or do you find yourself going, ouch. Why do I feel my toe just got stepped on? Because that's the struggle of humanity. We're caring about ourselves. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, don't start playing holier than thou. Because the fact is, you know who needed not only a Savior, but you know who needs the work of Christ to continue to be in their life on a daily basis? And the answer is every single one of us. So Jesus knew that. And yet he ends up taking and that which none of them would lower themselves to do, Jesus was willing to do. You think about that. This is the kind of passage you want to hold in mind when somebody ends up asking, you know, you think you're being asked to be able to teach a Bible study and to lead a group, and maybe you're asked to be able to bring refreshments, and you go, I could lead that. You know what you're struggling with right now? Pride. You know what you need? To be willing to help them out with the need that they've just expressed. How about that? You know, that we'd be willing to be who we can be to help other people, but that was not them. And again, later, I'm telling you, God got a hold of their lives, and what God did with them, we say, please, God, do in me what we have seen you do in the lives of those individuals, because they were willing to go anywhere on the face of the earth and give whatever it took to be able to serve their Lord. But during the time Jesus was on earth, you know what? Their flaws, their humanity showed through. But now they're feeling really awkward. You know, Jesus is doing something that, you know, I should have done, or at least one of these guys should have gotten up and done it, you know, they might say. But he's the one who did it. And that's why we remember him in this chapter. Is because when other people wouldn't, God the Son was willing to get down on his hands and knees and to do the work of a servant or a slave. As I have been privileged to be involved in ministry, this kind of picture is what I need. I need to see that, you know what ministry is? It's whatever needs to be done. That's what it's about. You know? We don't get into this, well, it's not my job, it's somebody else's job, and they need to go ahead and do it. You know what? It's carrying out the mission, and whatever it needs, we do. Does that make sense? Back to the text, though. Jesus is there, poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. He came to Simon Peter. Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Jesus said, you will never wash my feet. Ouch. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Scripture says, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. In the midst of their frailties and their failures, they were genuine, except for one. That's Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, by the way, did he convince the others that he was sincere? They made him the treasurer, you know? I mean, out of the whole group, they wanted somebody of integrity who would take care of the finances, and they went ahead and picked him, and you go, you gotta be kidding me. No. People can play the game. Just know this. God knows. People may play the game, but we need to say this, by the grace of God, not me. Amen? By the grace of God, not me. I'm not going to play that game. Not going to wear that mask. Not going to just pretend for the purposes of the people that are around me. Here's how they look, therefore, this is how I look. This is how... No. What's in your heart? And we have had, I'm going to say right here at Payless, some really meaningful and deep relationships because we're working hard at just being who we are. You know? Let's get down to it. This is what ministry is about. This is who he is. We're going to be ourselves, you know? And ourselves isn't always perfect, but we're seeking to be who God wants us to be, right? This section, though, I just need you to know that there's a group, the Catholics, that take this concept and say, if you've already been baptized as an infant, which is the background they come through, well, then, you know what? What you just need to do is you need to go to confession. You know, you just kind of go to confession and everything will end up being okay. And this is a passage they use to be able to proof it, to say, this is correct, this is accurate, this is the reason for it. That's not what's being said. You know, the truth of it is that the greatest need of the human heart is to trust Christ as our personal Savior. Amen? And each of them, in their own way, was willing to be a follower of Christ, even with all their frailties and their failures, except for one. And that one was fake. It was Judas Iscariot. It's not Judas was a Christian and then lost his salvation. No. He never was, truly. He never gave himself to the Lord. What was going on inside? You know what? You can surmise, I can surmise, but what we know is that here in this text, it makes clear that there's somebody that's there that's not really his in the midst of it all. Why? And it goes on and says, verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. And so he washed their feet. Verse 12 says, he picked up his garments, sat down again with his ceremonial robe, and then he said to him, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. Jesus is admitting and acknowledging, here's who I am. You know, I'm not just your teacher, I'm Lord. And you say, well, you call me that. Verse 14, I have underlined in my Bible for me, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example. There are churches, by the way, that have not just the ordinances of believers' baptism and of the Lord's table, but also of foot washing. Are you aware of that? They literally have a Sunday, you know, and the women are one section, men are another, and they go through and they wash one another's feet. Now, the truth of it is, we no longer are living in a time and a culture where the greatest need is washing feet. You follow that? Back in that culture, that was not just a symbolic thing to do. It was a practical thing to be able to do. Their feet were filthy. Now, after church, come and talk with me if you need to about somebody you know who also has filthy feet. But it's not what we're talking about, okay? That's not the topic of what's going on. The concept is an example of a willingness to do something on behalf of another. Today, it isn't having a foot being washed that is the greatest need. It's coming alongside and caring and loving, being a brother, being a sister in Christ. Sometimes, you know what, with trepidation and difficulty in prayer, going up to a brother or a sister in Christ and saying, man, you are walking off the path. I'm not here as the judge and jury. I'm here as a brother or sister saying, I care. You got to stop going the wrong direction. It's going to end up bringing destruction to you and anyone else that you love. You know what I'm talking about? Proverbs chapter 27 ends up telling us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. An enemy will tell you whatever they think you want to hear. They don't care about you. A friend will tell you what you need to hear, caring enough to confront. But Jesus isn't just talking about confronting. He's talking about caring about others, knowing their tendency. Me, me, me. Knowing our tendency. I've now moved from just looking at the text to looking at our lives and saying, we are just like them. That's our tendencies. Oh, we have ways to be able to make it look really good so people still think we're really a great person, but the point of it is we struggle with this, don't we? And Jesus says, you call me teacher, you call me Lord, you've said well. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I've given you an example that you should go and do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you... Yeah. It's about the application of truth, not just learning information of truth. Knowledge by itself, Paul said to the Corinthians, does what? Puffs up. I try to look bigger than I am. Love edifies. What's the object of our love? Somebody else. And as Christ has loved us and cared for us, what is his call? It is that you and I are focused on caring about others rather than just caring about ourselves. At the core of our being, that there be a transformational process. You don't do it. It's the Spirit of God. You know, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, you know, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship, and be not conformed to this world. Here it is. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But that concept of transformation is not by your own strength and energy. It's allowing the Spirit of God to do the work that God wants to do. We humble ourselves, He accomplishes the work. That transformational process where we begin caring about others. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Here's what I've done in my little Bible here. I've gone beyond just being able to underline this, and I went and found highlighters, different color highlighters, so it would stick out. And if you turn to this page in my Bible, it's the very first thing that you see on the entire page. You're just going to run to it and say, okay, I see some other writing and underlining, but why did he highlight this? If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In the midst of all that's going on, this great passage, a wonderful chapter in the midst of all that's going on. Verse 31, Jesus, when he had gone out, and he is Judas Iscariot, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified. God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, speaking of the Son, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. That phrase spun them off into all kinds of stuff. Yet, I'm sure this has never happened during a message, he said loud to get everybody's attention. But have you ever been in a place where somebody's talking and their words are going on and your brain is somewhere else? Huh? Has that ever happened to you? Never during a message, right? We'll see. But the point is, I work hard that it not be able to do that. But, you know, it's up to you. But the disciples from this moment, all they were thinking about was that phrase. He's going away. For the last 3.5 years, they became his followers and they went with him everywhere. They gave up whatever it was. The fishermen gave up their nets. You know, Matthew ended up giving up doing what he was doing. Each and every one of them gave up whatever they had been doing, and they followed Jesus. Their life was tied to him, and now he's going away. Can you imagine how they felt? And that's why the next couple of chapters, we're going to find one after another, we'll not do that here tonight, but time that the disciples just keep asking questions because they don't get it. Of course, you and I mean, we're followers of Christ. Pentecost has come, and it's past that. And we now have the ability, we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. We get it, right? We understand it all. Amen? It's really something when we realize some who had this much information followed him. Because we have this much information, and we say, I don't get it. I don't understand. What's that got to do with me? But what about this or this or this or this? And we somehow think we've come up with an exception that the Lord probably hadn't really realized. Huh? No. My God knows it all, doesn't he? His patience with us, his patience with them. He says to them, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And I, as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you. Now, he had just washed their feet, but I'm confident that what he was referring to as well is what he was committed to do. He was on a path, and they had said, don't go to Jerusalem. The Jews are after you. I must needs go to Jerusalem Jesus knew his hour had come. He knew he would be betrayed. He knew all of this would take place. And yet he came and he said, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then he said in verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have a love one for another. God's call upon his people that they would recognize their way doesn't work and that they'd be willing to follow him. I love this passage. I love this chapter. I love this picture of our Savior getting down on his knees and caring for people. Wow. You know, just wow. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. So what is there that you won't do for him? What's your struggle? And you come to this chapter and you can't get out of it. It's just convicting, you know? You just can't come away without being able to say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's asking us, that we would be willing to follow him. The health, wealth, prosperity gospel, it's not the scriptures. God's calling us to service and sometimes hardship in the process. But even though we might do that, we'll never end up going beyond what Christ was willing to do for us. Amen? So it's not sitting back looking for all of your bucks to come in so that I can have everything and sit back and do nothing. It's not what it's about. I want to be found faithful. I'm saying that like the words that you ought to be saying. I want to be found faithful. John chapter 13. You ever start struggling with life and feeling like, I don't know if I can do this, and I've taken on an awful lot. I hope the Lord knows all I've gone through for him. You come back to John chapter 13. You come to that picture of the basin and the towel. And you recognize that's the kind of group that I want to be a part of. I want to be known for being willing to serve him. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. It's not about steeples and crucifixes and all kinds of other outward stuff. It's about faith and character and a willingness to humble ourselves and to serve him. Because he is so worthy of all of our service. John chapter 13. It's kind of a powerful passage. It has been to me for many years, and I share it with you tonight. In the weeks to come, we're just going to look at different chapters in the Bible and see the meaningfulness and power and practicality of the Word of God. If the Lord allows, come join us. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us. You give us these kinds of passages for the purpose of being able to help us to get it, to understand what it's really all about. Not just information, knowing more than somebody else, though you want us to learn the truth, but a willingness to follow you, just to put aside ourself and our selfishness, and begin to look at our Savior and allow his life to impact ours. May that happen even tonight in our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.